Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, The Glories of Devotional Service, Text 25. Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavante prit karna rasayana kata taj joshanad asho apavarga vartmane shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyate satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti hritkarna rasayana kata taj joshanad ashva pavasha varga vartmane shradharatir bhaktir anukramishyate satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti ritkarna rasayana kata taj joshanad ashva pavarga vartmane shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyate satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti ritkarna rasayana kata taj doshanad ashva pavarga vartmane shradharatir bhaktir anukramishyate satam. Of pure devotees, prasangat, through the association, mama, my, virya, wonderful activities, samvida, by discussion of, bhavante, become, hrit, to the heart, karna, to the ear, rasa ayana, pleasing, kata, the stories, tat, of that, joshanat, by cultivation, asho, quickly, apavarga, of liberation, vartmane, on the path, shraddha, firm faith, rati, attraction, bhakti, devotion, anukramishyati, will follow in order. Translation: in the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed, and his attraction becomes fixed. Then, real devotion and devotional service begin. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The process of advancing in Krishna consciousness and devotional service is described here. The first point is that one must seek the association of persons who are Krishna conscious and who engage in devotional service. Without such association, one cannot make advancement. Simply by theoretical knowledge or study, one cannot make any appreciable advancement. One must give up the association of materialistic persons and seek the association of devotees, because without the association of devotees, one cannot understand the activities of the Lord. Generally, people are convinced of the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth. Because they do not associate with devotees, they cannot understand that the Absolute Truth can be a person and have personal activities. This is a very difficult subject matter. And unless one has personal understanding of the Absolute Truth, there is no meaning to devotion. Service or devotion cannot be offered to anything impersonal. Service must be offered to a person. Non-devotees cannot appreciate Krishna consciousness by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other Vedic literature wherein the activities of the Lord are described. They think that these activities are fictional, manufactured stories, because spiritual life is not explained to them in the proper mood. To understand the personal activities of the Lord, one has to seek the association of devotees, and by such association, when one contemplates and tries to understand the transcendental activities of the Lord, the path to liberation is open and he is freed. One who has firm faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes fixed, and his attraction for association with the Lord and the devotees increases. Association with devotees means association with the Lord. The devotee who makes this association develops the consciousness for rendering service to the Lord. And then, being situated in the transcendental position of devotional service, he gradually becomes perfect. Satam prasangan mamavirya samvido. Bhavanti rit karana rasayanakata, taj joshanad ash vapavarga vartmani, shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed, and his attraction becomes fixed. Then, real devotion and devotional service begin. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Niravishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Vanchikalpacharubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha. Paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yes, well, devotees. This is actually very famous and important verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Also, verse, I think it was 21, was the description of the sadhu. That's another important verse. And this is no less important, actually. It may well be even more important, but certainly it's a very outstanding and significant verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. That, well, Lord Kapila is instructing Mother Devahuti, and practically the first thing he's done, this is just the beginning of his instructions, really. Let's see, where does it begin? Yeah. His instructions begin with verse 13. First of all, there's some sort of general instructions, particularly like, you are not this body type of instructions, that sort of idea that we should understand who or what we really are. And then starting with verse 19, he starts discussing about devotional service, or he introduces the idea of devotional service first in verse 19. Then just in the very next verse, having introduced devotional service, in the very next verse, verse 20, he begins to introduce the point of association. And then 21, as we just mentioned, is that famous verse, Titikshava Karunika Surida Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhubhushana. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he's tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He's peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. It's really focusing on the sadhus. What is a sadhu? Who is a sadhu? Yes, and then he goes on, elaborating further on the sadhus, the natures of the sadhus, and the activities of the sadhus, and just how important and wonderful the sadhus are, and how powerful and beneficial and wonderful the association of the sadhus is. And particularly here in this verse, particularly in this verse, and you know, there's also in other of the verses too, but in this verse, particularly, the process of hearing and chanting from the sadhus in the association of the sadhus, this is particularly being emphasized in a very vivid way, that particularly and specifically in the association of the pure devotees, the discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Lord is very not just beneficial, advantageous for us, something like this, but is very pleasing and satisfying. One will get a very, you could say, heartwarming experience from a discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Lord in the association of the pure devotees. But it goes beyond just being, you know, some might say that, well, it's a pleasant experience, that's nice, but what about progress? What about getting out of the entanglement in material existence or the entanglements of this material world? But then Lord Kapila goes on that by doing like this, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation. That's, yeah, gradually. And thereafter, he's freed. Not just making some progress on the path in the direction of liberation of some sort, that type of idea, but he actually becomes freed, actually becomes liberated in Krishna consciousness, not in an impersonal sense, but freed from all of what is there in material existence. Oh, that's very significant. And in that state, in that condition, the devotee becomes completely fixed, focused. You could say like an unbreakable attachment, basically, like that. Some deeply, very deeply focused attachment on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his names, his forms, his qualities, his service, the association of his devotees, and distribution of his message and involving others in these things. This all manifests and becomes really solid, really concrete, not some sort of on, off, on again, off again, up and down, and that sort of idea, but really becomes very cemented in the life of the devotee. And then he makes this, we'll give a little explanation, but otherwise it's to some devotees, it's sometimes a slightly perplexing statement that at that point, real devotion and devotional service begin, as if before that point, what one is doing is unreal. It's just sort of like, you know, some fiction, some hallucination or something. You know, it looks like devotional service, but it's not the real thing. Yeah, that's a very important point. It's all very important. So the first point is that in the association of devotees, the discussions of the pastimes and activities of the Lord, they become very pleasing, satisfying to the ear and the heart. It means just they start pervading one's life in very wonderful and beautiful ways. And one feels that like a natural relish developing. And it's interesting that this point, it was made a couple of verses ago in that the sadhus don't suffer from material miseries because they're always filled with thoughts of the Lord's pastimes and activities. Of course, they became filled through hearing the discussions. Sri Sri Radha Radhanath Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Yeah, they didn't just become filled with thoughts of these things just in some vague way or some, I don't know, just some strange way. Generally, and it's the case here also, and it's not just generally, but this is the way it works, that one becomes filled with thoughts of anything, having heard about that, at least initially heard about that, then one becomes very interested and attracted. So similarly with Krishna consciousness, it all begins with hearing. It all begins with hearing. Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, he speaks the classic verse, or two verses actually, listing out the nine famous processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmana, Vedanam. And they begin with hearing, and then chanting, and then remembering, and then serving the lotus feet, and so on. Yes, so hearing must be there. For anything to develop, for Krishna consciousness particularly, to develop, but actually can apply with practically any subject, you must hear about it, to go into it, to get into it, and then go more deeply into it. You have to hear. And particularly with Krishna consciousness, this is emphasized again and again. You have to hear. Then it enters you, your heart, it enters your being, your consciousness. And then, having heard, then you can chant. And when you chant, you hear also. And when you chant and hear and chant and hear, and it all, and you do that nicely, and it already it really goes into the heart, then you remember. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Then you remember, and then when you're hearing and chanting and remembering all these wonderful things, and they're really penetrating, then the inspiration arises to serve. There's a natural sequence, a very natural sequence, from hearing to chanting to remembering to serving, and then on further. Padasevanam, then archanam, worshipping, vandanam, offering prayers, dasyam, becoming even a deeper, going on to a deeper level of service, and sakyam, that's a very elevated level, but the development, the mood of friendship towards the Lord, and then just absolute self-surrender, and then everything together. So this is what is being emphasized here. Hearing is special. Out of all devotional services, hearing is special. And depending on from whom you hear, about what you hear, effect will be there. Of course, in one sense, it's a warning not to hear from the materialists. But here, of course, very positively, it's to hear the discussions of the pure devotees, not just any devotee. Of course, anyone who's basically a sincere devotee, you know, that's generally positive. But the pure devotees, oh, this is just something really superlative in so many ways. Srila Prabhupada makes the point elsewhere that there is a direct line, a direct connection from the ear to the heart. And that connection to the heart within one's being, that particular connection from the ear is the strongest of all the connections of all the different senses to the heart. Srila Prabhupada, of course, gives the example that if someone is sleeping, how can you wake them up? What's the best way? His sense of sight, he's sleeping. So you can't, you know, somehow or other stimulate him. His sense of sight, his sense of touch, well, unless you're right next to him, you can't stimulate him with the sense of touch at all. Sense of smell, sense of taste, not really. But sense of hearing, even if you're a little distance away, by stimulating the sense of hearing, you can awaken a sleeping person. So Srila Prabhupada applies this idea to a person, to a spiritually awakening a person who's spiritually sleeping, that through hearing about the Lord, such a person becomes most quickly awakened to real Krishna consciousness through the stimulation of the sense of hearing. Hearing and chanting about Krishna. Well, hearing about Krishna, which then goes on to chanting, which also involves hearing, and then everything develops from there. So this is a very, such an important aspect of Krishna consciousness, such an essential aspect. And as aspiring devotees, all of us here, who somehow or other, we've received some mercy, and we're staying here in the temple of Shishi Radha Radhana, the temple of Srila Prabhupada, and we're engaged, from what I understand, and I can certainly say for myself, no one can complain that we are under-engaged at this point. Sometimes it's like that. I don't think anyone can complain like that now. Everyone is busy, which is nice, in all different forms of devotional service. But we must not neglect our hearing. And we must not neglect our chanting, during which we hear also. We must not neglect these things. What happens if we neglect our hearing? Let's just start with hearing. If we neglect our hearing, but on the other hand, we are actively engaged in service, or even very actively engaged, perhaps, but we neglect our hearing, then what happens is that the service, gradually, at least our minds perceive our service gradually, step by step, more from mundane perspective. And it becomes something like a form of work, or at least somewhere in between. It's not like that real, pure, sublime devotional service, which is just so wonderful and relishable. but rather it's somewhere in between there and just work. And we see sometimes devotees, of course, it is possible that somehow or other one ends up with so much service that one cannot cope for different reasons. So that's not impossible. But otherwise, if one is not careful, then one's devotional service, which is pure transcendence and very amazing connection with the Supreme Lord, it gradually attains, apparently, at least within our eyes and minds, attains the nature of work, as is done in material life. So therefore, hearing and then chanting, but beginning with hearing about these things, is such an essential part of the development of Krishna consciousness and making progress in Krishna consciousness and avoiding sliding back from sort of optimum Krishna consciousness, if one can put it like that. There's an interesting discussion of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur with one American professor, or some Western professor, maybe he was British, but anyway, something like that, a Westerner, about Krishna consciousness. This person came to Bengal and met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and so they got into a discussion, and it's a long story, but at one point, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta started describing the Das Avatar, the 10 popular incarnations of the Lord. We're reading the Das Avatar Stotra these mornings after Mangal Arati, actually. The glorification of these 10 popular avatars. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gave a really quite amazing elaboration on that subject, the basis of which is, sure, that there is some sort of evolution of consciousness from one avatar to the next in order of how they've appeared. Anyway, we won't go into that, but that's just interesting. And at the end of the whole of that discussion, which particularly focused at that point on the Das Avatar, then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta asked the gentleman to the effect that, you know, how do you like my explanation? You know, are you following it? It was that sort of idea. And the gentleman said, the professor, he was obviously quite taken aback. And even though he was a professor, a Westerner, English was his mother tongue, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, his English was, you could say, you know, an elevated form of English, or you could just say a sort of complex form of English, which means an elevated form. So it would not be surprising if we hear that professor was struggling to follow the English, even though he was a professor and, you know, had done all his studies and everything in English. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta basically asked him, so, you know, how's my explanation? Something, words to that sort of effect. And the man, trying to be nice and diplomatic and sort of as positive as he could be under the circumstances, said, "I'll have to think about it." To which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta responded, to the effect that it may not be such a good idea to think about it too much with your conditioned mind, because your conditioned mind, the conditioned mind cannot reach to that level of transcendence. So don't think about it too much, because there's the likelihood of misconception arising very easily. But rather, hear about it from devotees. Because when we hear about Krishna from devotees, particularly advanced devotees, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So particularly when we hear about these things from advanced devotees, there are two effects. One is, of course, you get the right information, which otherwise, if you just think about it, that's going to be a problem. And it could be a terrible problem, probably will be. So on one hand, you get the right information, and that's extremely important. And on the other hand, there is a transcendental potency to that sound vibration. And that transcendental potency empowers, when it contacts the consciousness, the thinking processes and all, when it contacts them, it empowers them. It empowers them to understand more clearly. Yes. Without which, as Prabhupada does mention in the purport, and it's really a bit of a, it's a bit of a subject, that, Prabhupada says, non-devotees cannot appreciate Krishna consciousness by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other Vedic literature wherein the activities of the Lord are described. Without the association of devotees, even an attempt to read such literatures will necessarily end in failure and frustration and misconception, and just everything will just get mixed up negatively. Now, we note that Srila Prabhupada emphasized the distribution of his books as the main method of preaching, basically. Preaching Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada had us distributing Srimad Bhagavatam on the streets. I distributed many, just single volumes. The third canto, the second canto, part two. Just distributing them on the streets. To the mundane materialistic sudras and so on. But this was Prabhupada's personal instruction. Here Prabhupada says non-devotees can't appreciate Krishna consciousness by reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So what's going on? But the thing is that through Srila Prabhupada's particularly not just the translations, but actually particularly Srila Prabhupada's purports, the people are getting this, the association which is being mentioned here. The association of pure devotees. These discussions become just very wonderful in many ways, relishable, effective, purifying, and helping one to focus, so on and so forth. Yes, so therefore we shouldn't misunderstand this point that reading Srimad Bhagavatam, including as presented by Prabhupada, is going to be ineffective as is stated here. No, it'll definitely be effective, and therefore we find so many devotees have come to Krishna consciousness through getting a book. Yes. So anyway, we're out of time actually, but I just want to mention this final point, this last little sentence in the translation, that when one becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness, freed from one's entanglement, his attraction to Krishna is fixed, and in other words, in a very Krishna conscious state, then real devotion and devotional service begin. You know, if we examine ourselves, we may, you know, see that we have grounds for feeling that we may not have, you know, do we have real devotion and real devotional service? What's our position? Are we still somewhat mixed sometimes? Yeah, it's an important point. So the thing is that what Srila Prabhupada is doing is distinguishing between just the practice, the sadhana stage, where one is learning and practicing and trying and having to deal with one's conditioning, these types of things, at least from time to time. Yes, so it's like, it's sort of, the principle is, it's like when one learns to drive a car, then the teacher is right next to you, and they're telling you, do this and do that, and you're doing it, so it's, things are going on. But if they didn't, well, it's easily some serious problem could arise. Therefore, even though you're driving the car, you're not exactly a real driver, like a qualified, experienced driver. I remember my mother taught me how to drive, would you believe? She taught me how to drive. And my first lesson, put it into gear, put your foot on the accelerator, not too much, let out the clutch, slowly, but not, I didn't do it slowly enough, and the car leapt forward and stopped, Ah, Krishna. So I was not a real driver, I really wasn't at all. But step by step, we became what you might call a real driver. So it's like that. Real devotion, here real devotion is talking about basically at more or less on the level of bhava, pure devotional service, not mixed up with other things which sometimes influence it, or influence your engagement in service. But very advanced devotional service, where you're not mixed up, that's real devotional service. And there's real bhakti, real love for the Lord there. Of course, we should not become disappointed and think that, oh, I'm not really doing devotional service, I'm doing some second-class or third-class thing. We're learning. We're learning. We're very fortunate, extremely fortunate. We're learning. And at least if we're really trying our best, then step-by-step progress is coming. And mercy is coming. And our attempts at devotional service are being accepted by the Lord through Parampara. Our attempts are being accepted. And therefore, in that sense, the efforts of a beginning devotee can also be called real devotion, real devotional service. But you know, there are different senses, different perspectives on different statements like who is a pure devotee? On what level do you have to be considered to be a pure devotee? It's a somewhat complex subject. But in this case, it's talking about a very advanced devotional service where there's no mixture of the modes, just full pure devotional service. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.